prepare yourself to study the Bible. Tip number three. In order for us to really gain from the Scriptures, we need to prepare ourselves. And the very first tip that I have here, these tips, the title of the tips here come from a man named Mark Cambron, in the footnotes at the bottom of the page there. But the first one is to have a personal relationship with Christ. And, you know, that really is a foundational. But if you really want to learn from the Bible, you need to know the author of the Bible. All right? You can't expect to learn from the Bible if you don't know God as your personal Savior. And there's a whole lot of difference between being religious and knowing Christ. There's a lot of people that are religious, and they open the Bible, and they may even learn some of the Bible, but it doesn't really mean much to them because they don't know the Lord. And so we really need to have the Lord in our lives in order to help us to be able to understand the Scriptures. And a couple of verses I want us to turn to, and I want us to turn to all of these tonight. So the first one's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now, when he talks about the natural man, what's he talking about? Sean?
Man in his natural state of sin.
Okay, a person who's in their natural state of sin, an unbeliever. All right, so the natural man, the unbeliever, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He just can't get it. You know, an unbeliever can read the Bible and say, you know, I just don't get much out of that. I don't understand it. It's too hard. It's too complicated. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, you have to be spiritual to understand what it's talking about, the deep things of the Spirit of God, the things in the Scriptures. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at number verse 18. Good practice moving around in the Scriptures here tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse number 18. Ephesians 4:18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts." So here he's talking again about an unsaved person, a person who doesn't know the Lord. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated or set apart from God, from life of God, and they're ignorant. Spiritually ignorant, they're blind, their heart is blind, they can't see. So there's a lot of things that an unsaved person just don't understand as they look into the Scriptures. Now, the spiritual person, or the saved person, has the Holy Spirit to help them. John chapter 14, Jesus was talking to his disciples, so turn there to John chapter 14. This was in the Olivet Discourse, the discussion Jesus had with his disciples the night before his crucifixion. And in John chapter 14 and verse number 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So Jesus told the disciples that the Spirit of God would help them to remember and understand the things that he had taught them. Okay? Now, also we see in chapter 16 of John, just a page or so over in your Bible, chapter 16 and verse number 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." All right, so the Spirit of God is going to teach us the things that God wants us to know. So if you know Christ your Savior, you have the Spirit of God living in you, and he will help you. If you don't know Christ your Savior, you don't have God's help in you, and you're going to have a difficult time understanding the Scripture. So it's very important that a person knows Christ. Then the verses we just looked at a moment ago over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, continuing on in that same section, it goes on talking about the spiritual man. Beginning, we read verse 14, but now if we look at the section one more time, all right, verse number 15 says, But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And actually in verse 13, it says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Spirit of God will help us to understand the Scriptures if we know Christ our Savior. So the very first thing that will help you prepare in your study of the Bible is to make sure you know Christ. And if there's any question in your mind about that, whether you have a personal relationship with Christ, talk to me about it. Let's work through that, because it's very, very important that we know that and that we take care of that. And without that, we will have a very difficult time in our Bible study. And as I was pondering over this, I wrote some notes in my thing here, and they're pretty small, so I'm trying to read them here. But only God knows how many professing Christians do not enjoy Bible study because they are not truly saved. You know, that is sad. But there's a lot of people in the world that say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they don't read their Bible, and they don't want to read their Bible, and they don't like to read their Bible, and it very well could be, and I'm not God, but it could be that they don't know the Lord as their Savior. And that's a root problem and a real, real problem that we need to make sure doesn't exist in our own lives. All right, now, look at the second point, and that is we need to have a positive persuasion concerning inspiration. Now, remember, we talked about inspiration last week, and inspiration, it means that God inspired or God breathed the Scriptures. This is God's book. He said these things for us, and it's His Word for us. Now, if you do not believe that the Bible is God's Word, it will mean little to you. It's not going to mean much to you if you really don't believe this is God's book. If you just think, well, it's a nice religious book, and, you know, some of it's true, some of it's not, and, you know, there's a few good parables in it and a few good stories in it, but a lot of it's just kind of man's ideas. I mean, people have all kinds, I've talked to lots of people that just say, oh, you can't believe the Bible. It's just a bunch of stories from long ago and chucked in there together, and some of it's probably true, and a lot of it's just fairy tales. And if that's the way the person looks at the Bible, they're not going to learn much from the Scriptures because they don't really believe that it's God's book. And so really, if we're going to prepare ourselves properly, we need to believe that this book is God's book in order for us to gain from it. Now, Psalm 119:160. There's a good verse for you to mark in your Bible. Let's flip over there. Psalm 119:160. Psalm 119:160. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Very important verse. It's true from the beginning, and all of it endures forever. It's God's word. Now, when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. That's what God wants. He speaks to us by reading the Bible. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't hear God speaking to me. Well, it's like this. You know, you think back of maybe someone who's written you a letter. And even though you weren't there, they were distant from you, you can read their letter. And what are you reading? Are you reading something that the neighbor wrote? No, you're reading your friend's or your loved one's letter. And I remember when Melody and I first met and started getting to know each other. And actually, we had our first date on the 11th of February 1978, and we were at Bible college at the time, and shortly after that, it was the next day or something like that, Melody made a little Valentine for me and put it in my box and thanked me for the nice evening. And, you know, as I read that, I wasn't thinking, oh, I wonder who wrote this. I knew who wrote it, and I knew what she said, and it meant a lot to me. Right? And it was like I was reading her words, and that meant a lot. And, you know, if we look at the Bible like that and think, God wrote this for me, so that I can learn what He wants me to know. And if we look at the Scriptures from that perspective, it'll help us to say, this is important. And I appreciate the Bible because it is God speaking to me to teach me. Now, number three, we need to have a passionate desire to know the Bible. Now, let me stop right there a moment. I always do this. If this is Wednesday night, we're casual on Wednesday night. On Sundays, I don't want you to raise your hand and asking questions. But on Wednesday night, if you got a question, raise your hand. All right? Because I just keep rattling unless I see someone's hand go up. So if you got a question, don't be afraid. Raise your hand. That's perfectly fine. And I'd be happy to answer your question. Okay? All right. So number three here, have a passionate desire to know the Bible. You know, study the Bible as a treasure hunter. Proverbs chapter 2. All right, here in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon's writing to his son, and he tells him here in chapter 2, the first five verses, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and shalt find the knowledge of God." All right, so he's encouraging us to search the scriptures like we're searching for a treasure. When I was a little boy, I was probably about 7 or maybe 8 years old. My neighbor lived down the road. He was, probably 5 or more years older than me. And he gave me a little corduroy jacket. And I really liked that jacket. I wore it everywhere. I mean, that was my favorite jacket. And one day, it came up missing. I looked everywhere. I searched everywhere. I searched all through the house. I searched through the garage. I searched everywhere. Couldn't find that jacket. Years went by. Couldn't find the jacket. Probably 10 or 15 years later, I was looking for something. My dad on our farm, we had an area back in the woods where nobody could see it, that he would take old vehicles and old tractors and stuff and kind of set them there, and they'd kind of rust out and leave them there because they were out of sight and nobody could see them. And I needed something in an old ute that we had. And I pulled back the seat of the ute and looked behind the seat. There's my jacket! Behind the seat of that ute. It had been there for about 15 years. And by then, obviously I couldn't wear it anymore. But I wanted my jacket. But it was too late. It was all decayed and it sat there and molded and all that kind of stuff, you know. But finally found my jacket. But I looked everywhere. And you know, if we would look in the scripture and say, I want to learn something from God today. I really want something from God today. God, would you please teach me something today? And dig into the scriptures. It'll be a great help to us if we dig into the scriptures like that. We need to read it like it's a love letter. You know, Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. You know, if we read it like we read those love letters, like I did my little letters that I'd get from Melody occasionally. She didn't write very often. We were both in Bible college. We saw each other every day during Bible college. But during the summer months, when we were away, June, July, and August in America, you have the summer break. And so for 3 months, we didn't see each other face to face. And so I was writing to her, and she was writing to me. And, I'd get one of those letters. I'd read it, and think over it. You know, she was going to be my wife, and I wanted to know all about her as I could. And so I was reading it because I really wanted to know. And if we dig into the scriptures like that, what a difference it'll make if we say, I want to know God. I want to know what He's like. I want to know what He says. I want to know what He thinks. I want to know what He wants me to do. And this is God's love letter to me. And we read it like that, it'll make a big difference to us. A passionate study makes the Bible come alive. And it really will for you as well as me. If we really want to learn and dig into it passionately, it'll be a great help to us. All right, number 4. Have a prayer time before you study. Now, this is important because, remember, this is God's book. And God's book is sometimes hard for us to understand. But remember when we read there in 1 Corinthians that it's spiritually discerned and the Holy Spirit can help us and teach us if we are His child? And so we need to search the scriptures with God's help. Psalm 119:18. Very good verse, one you need to highlight in your Bible if you haven't already done so. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I've mentioned it in time past, and I'll mention it as we dig further into our lessons. But one of the best things you can do in your Bible study is to get some colored pencils and mark your verses in your Bible. Alright? So every time I open up a page and it's all marked like this, it helps me. I color green ones, on verses that will help me to grow. Reminds me of grass. And this page has just green and blue. Blue ones are just general verses, just generally good verses. I color the ones about salvation in red. I color the ones about God and eternal life and heaven and future events. It reminds me of all what's ahead in the future, golden streets in heaven. I color them yellow. But you make up your own little scheme, but mark your Bible. It'll be a great help to you. And write in the margins, write notes in the margins. It'll be a great help to you because you're highlighting this book so that when God teaches you something, you can remember what you learned and it'll help you and guide you and strengthen you. So mark your Bible. That'll be a great help to you. But as you come to the scriptures, pray and say, God, open up mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Then ask God to teach you his way. We sing a song about this based on this verse, but in Psalm 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalm 86:11. And that song that we sing, teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way, thy guiding grace, and so on. It's based on this verse. Great verse, great song, but it's asking God to teach us from his word. And we need to ask God to help us. God is the author of the book. He knows what he wrote and he knows why he wrote it. You know, it reminded me as I was going through this of our garden. Right now we have some sweet potatoes growing in our garden. And as you look at the sweet potato plant, it's kind of crawling all over the place. And you can see the plant, but you have no idea what's underneath. I remember last year when we finally said, all right, well, let's dig up our sweet potatoes. I think they're time to dig them up. I didn't know what to expect. And we had maybe three or four plants, not very many. And I dug them up, and we had 15 kilo of sweet potatoes under there. But you didn't know until you dug them up. And the same thing is true in the scriptures. There's all kinds of things tucked away, hidden in the soil of the scriptures here, and you'll not find them until you dig them out. There's all kinds of things, and I'm going to be teaching you how to dig out the treasures, how to find those little things that are nuggets in there that will help you and teach you and help you to grow. And it's not that complicated, but there's loads of stuff in there that's just below the surface you're not going to find by just a casual reading of it. But you dig into it, you study, you ask questions, you look up the words, you look up the other verses that go with it, and it can be a great help to you. So the scriptures, we need to pray over them and ask God to teach us. Number 5, have a plan to obey what you learn. Now, this is important because sometimes we'll just read the Bible just because it's my time to read the Bible. And we don't even think about, well, whatever I can learn today, I try to apply it to my life. But that needs to be the passion of our heart. I want something today, Lord. And as we come to the Lord, we say, Lord, please teach me something today from the scriptures that can be a help to me, that I can apply to my life, and I can put it into practice in my life. We need to pray that kind of a prayer and ask God to show us something that we can actually take with us that day. Over in the book of James, now way to the end of your Bible, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we find here a very important verse, one that's often convicting. James chapter 4 and verse number 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What did God say? He said, if you know what you should do and you don't do it, you've sinned. So I didn't do anything. God says, exactly. That's a sin because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And so God says, once we learn something, God shows us something from the scripture, God says, you can't just sit back and just say, well, you know, one of these days I'll get around to it. God says, no, you know now what you need to do. You're guilty if you don't do it. And so God says, I want you to do it. Same book of James, look back a page or so earlier to chapter 1 and look at verse number 22. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, I know, what did God say here? He says, we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And then he compared it to looking in a glass or a mirror. He says, you pull out the mirror and you look at your face in the mirror and say, wow, I got a lot of work to do today. My face is dirty and I need to shave and I'm, you know, oh boy, I don't like it. And I throw the mirror away and I just ignore it. It hasn't done me any good. And so God says, if you look into the law of liberty like a mirror, you look into the scriptures as your mirror, and God says, listen, this is what you need to do, and we don't do it, God says, we're being foolish. It's not going to help us. Because he tells us what to do, and I don't do it. So we've got to put it into practice. We have to have a plan to obey. So in my heart, I need to say, all right, whatever you show me today, Lord, I will strive to do that. And so we need to be seek to do what we know God wants us to do. Now, over in Psalm 1. Many of you are familiar with Psalm 1. It's a good psalm. Not too long of a psalm, but Psalm 1, the first three verses. Psalm 1, 1 to 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he is shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. All right? So God tells us here that we should not be like those that are walking in bad counsel, the ungodly, and standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of scornful. But he says we should delight in the law, Lord, and meditate on it day and night. So we need to spend time in the scriptures, and God says it'll help us and strengthen us and benefit us if we'll do that. So the idea here is to put it into practice. Luke chapter 11, back in the New Testament again. Lots of hopping around here. But if you didn't bring your Bible tonight, please do it next week. It'll be a big help to you to be able to find your way around. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 28. 11:28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. All right, now, it's interesting if you look at the context. This is a very good verse for context. Look at verse 27. All right, so Jesus is in the context here. And it came to pass, as Jesus spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said, blessed be the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou didst hast sucked. All right, so what was she saying? Blessed is Mary! And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said, more blessed than Mary is the person who hears the word of God and does it. That's a blessing. So, a good example of why the context is very important. If you didn't read the context, you wouldn't know that's what it was about. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying there. So, we need to have a plan to obey the scripture. Remember the people remaining in Jerusalem after Jeremiah after the Babylonian captivity began. Remember back when we were just finishing up the book of Jeremiah, right at the end, and Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem with Gedaliah and a few others that were still there with them. And Gedaliah and the others came to him and said, would you please inquire of God for us and tell us what God wants us to do? And what did they say? They said, whatever God says, we'll do it. So Jeremiah went to God and God said, whatever you do, do not go to Egypt. And as soon as Jeremiah told them, they said, we knew you'd say that. We're not going to listen to that. We're going to Egypt. And I thought, well, why did they even bother saying that? So they had no intentions of obeying God's word. They just wanted to hear what God had to say, but they had no plans of obeying it. And if we look at the Bible that way and say, well, I want to read the Bible. God, show me something. But if you tell me something I can't do that I like to do, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, that's the totally wrong way of looking at it when we look at the Bible. So we need to make sure we're studying with the right heart and the right attitude. So make plans to obey. Now, number six, and we're not going to go very much past page 10 tonight. I'm going to just shorten things a bit here. Number six, have a persistent determination to keep at it. You know, God required daily Bible study for the kings. We saw that last week back in Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and 19, where God said that the king was to write out his own copy of the scriptures, and every day he was supposed to read in it. Why? So that he learned to fear God. And so God says that we need to do that every day. It's a daily thing. And the Bible only gives light as we dig into it. Psalm 119, 130, we looked at that verse earlier, that the entrance of thy word gives light, it gives understanding unto the simple. And verse number 133, Mel, do you remember what that one is? Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. All right, thanks, dear. But it's just a reminder to us that the scriptures are there to help us. You know, we need to keep digging and going to, you know, to learn the things that God wants us to learn. You know, later on we're going to be learning one of the most important things about Bible study is observation. Observation. You need to look closely and examine it thoroughly. Observe it accurately. And we'll dig into that in much more detail later on. Very important part of Bible study. This quote by Theodore Roosevelt from years gone by, he said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. I thought, well, that's a pretty good statement from a man like him. And, you know, sometimes we feel like, oh, I just don't have time, or I just can't get it in. It just doesn't sink in. I'm reading this little, I don't know what you'd call it, a novel. It's just I've got it on my little tiny phone PDF thing, and once in a while when I have a couple of minutes, I'll just read a page of it. It takes me forever to do it that way. But it's about this guy from the UK, and I don't even remember how long ago it was, but he was saying that when he was, I think he was from Scotland. He said when he was a kid, I couldn't believe it. He said when he was a kid, just a young boy, I think he was 12 years old, he was in school, they were learning, I think he said Latin, and I think it was Latin and Italian and English, and they had to have their lessons memorized perfectly or they'd get whipping. And then at home, he said, my dad was even harder on me than my teacher was. He said, my dad made me memorize scripture constantly. And he said, by the time I was 12 years old, that's what he said. He said, I could quote the entire New Testament from Matthew to Revelation. I could quote it all by the time he was 12 years old. That's what he said. And I think, whew, this kid. And he said, if I didn't do it right, dad would whip me. I mean, they were harsh on him. But I thought, we're so lazy. We're so lazy compared to that. But it just shows us the human mind is capable of a lot more than we push it into. And so we need to keep at this thing. Now, one comment in the next section here. We're not going to look at page number 11, but at the bottom of page 10, we're going to start this one, and that is to secure helpful tools. You know, get a good quality bound King James Bible with large clear print. That'll be a big help to you. Now, mine's a large print Bible. You don't need necessarily one this big, but it worked good for me for preaching because it's got bigger print. I can see it more easily, especially with these multifocal glasses. But get yourself a Bible that's got big print in it and a good binding. You know, say, oh, I don't like to pay that much. Well, the thing of it is, you got to pay for what you get, what you pay for. All right, a good leather quality Bible like this. I mean, a friend gave this to me, but I know what they cost. To buy a Bible like this, you would be probably talking at least $150 or more if you got it at a good place, a cheap place. If you bought it over Amazon, a Bible like this would be about $220. They're expensive, But it's got quality paper and quality binding. It's all sewed together. It's all leather. It'll last for years. My other Bible was the same quality, and I used it all through high school, all through Bible college, and I was still using it until a few years ago. And so it's still going for after 50 years, and it's in still good shape. It isn't falling apart. And it's getting a little bit weak, but it's still holding together. So you get what you pay for. Get yourself a good quality Bible, and I know it is an investment. And you don't have to have a study Bible, but just one that's got good print in it. This particular Bible I've got here has no study notes in it at all. It's just text. And there's pros and cons. Sometimes I like that. Sometimes I wish it had a few notes in it. But if you're going to get a study Bible, of all the study Bibles out there, this is the one I would recommend as number one. All right, it's the Ryrie Study Bible. This is a hardback. You can get the hardback version for about 65 Australian dollars. I just checked today. And the hardback, the only problem with the hardback is that the pages, for some reason, tend to bend up a little bit more than a leather bound one. But Marlies has got one just, well, I guess she gave it to her grandson. But she had one just like this in leather. And that one, she bought it about 5 years ago, and I think that one cost her about $110 or something like that, of Australian dollars. But now I checked on them, I think they're about $150 for a leather-bound one. But Ryrie Study Bible, if you want to look at mine afterwards, you can. It's got some cross-references in the sides. It's got some study notes at the bottom. Ryrie was a very conservative Bible scholar, and so his notes are very helpful. There's good maps in the back of it. There's a few different charts that he's got on different things in it. But you're welcome to have a look at this if you'd like to. But it's probably, in my opinion, this is the most dependable and best study Bible if you want one that's actually got study notes in it. It's actually got quite a bit of space on the sides of the margins, too. You can write your own notes in the sides as well, which is very helpful as well.